Afternoon. It is again good to be in the house of the Lord, and we're so grateful for all of you who tuned in at this juncture. We pray that your day is going well. I pray your week has gone well, and we thank God that he has given us yet another opportunity to enter into study. The Bible says for us to study, to show ourselves approved, unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. We want to study the word of God because we know God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We want to continue to grow stronger as the Bible declares that we must desire the pure milk of the word that we might grow thereby. So we're grateful for all of you who have tuned in, and we thank God that you've been following along with us through this study out of the book of Daniel. And we're grateful that we have come to this our eighth outline in our study. And last week we walked through some verses out of the sixth chapter of Daniel. We've got one more outline, one more lesson out of this that we want to highlight, and that'll come from Daniel, the ninth chapter. But today we want to continue our outline, lesson eight out of this series, Unshakable, Thriving, No Matter What Life Throws at You. A lot of us can testify that the life can throw us curveballs, can throw some difficult days our way. And Daniel is a great example of how to thrive no matter what comes our way. Daniel continues to get promoted after various challenges in his life. And we saw various incidents and scenes where Daniel had to stand strong in spite of what he was going through. So we're going to continue our study how to stand strong. Will you stand strong for God publicly? You know, anybody can be a secret saint. Anybody can be a undercover believer, you know. But when your faith is tested on your job and in your workspace and in your community, will you stand strong for the Lord? We see that with Daniel. And he teaches us, he shows us how to do it. So let's pray and we'll jump right into it. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much for this. Another opportunity to be let down into the deep treasures of your word. Thank you for the testimony, the life, and the legacy of Brother Daniel, how he shows us how to be unshakable, how to thrive no matter what life throws at us. In particular, oh God, we pray as we continue to search through this sixth chapter of Daniel, showing us how we can stand strong in spite of public scrutiny and stress. We love you, Lord. We give you praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Stand in my body, think with my mind. Do what you do with me. Have your way so that they may see none of me and all of thee. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Together, every child of God said amen, amen, and amen. Last week, we talked about this sixth chapter of Daniel in particular. And in this sixth chapter of Daniel, we know that it is the account of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. We know that we came to the place to where Daniel stood out among his colleagues, so much so that the king Darius wanted to promote him to be over all of the other governors in the kingdom. And so our question that we started out is what distinguished Daniel? What made Daniel stand out so much so that here now is the third king wanting to promote Daniel above all of the other governors that he had in his kingdom. And so, and who doesn't want to be promoted? That was the point we made last week. Who doesn't want to be promoted? Who doesn't want to continue to go higher, higher on your job, higher in your community, higher in your ministry? And we learn from Daniel how God sets us apart. How do we stand out? And that's what we looked at when we came to Daniel. We gave you three things that distinguished Daniel. First of all, what distinguished Daniel is that his professional competence made him stand out. He was professionally competent. He could get the job done. And we see that over and over again, how Daniel was a gifted leader. He was a learned leader. And we said before that the moment any leader stops learning, they stop leading. We have to continue to lead by learning. My daughter came into my office yesterday, and she looked at the books that were on my shelf, and she said, "You read all them books?" I said, "Well, I read a lot of them. That's up there, you know, because you have to keep learning. There's stuff and things that you can do better and be better, and you gotta read." I was looking at one guy who had become a billionaire, and he said, the question they asked him, "Well, how did you become a billionaire?" He said, "I outread all the other people." reading is part of learning, and so Daniel stood out. Stood out because of his professional competence, and that's how we want to stand out as well. We want our professional competence to continue to grow. Daniel, it says on your outline, he distinguished himself above all the others. You know, he distinguished himself. And I think it was in wisdom and learning. Daniel set himself apart simply because, and it wasn't so much so about a degree. I was talking to a young preacher yesterday about a degree. It's not so much about a degree. It's more about learning and wisdom and all of that, because nowadays not everybody's getting degrees. They have wisdom enough to create apps and other stuff, and they go from there. Some of our newfound billionaires and millionaires don't have degrees, and I'm not suggesting to our kids don't go to school. I'm saying that you got to keep learning. I hope you hear that. So his professional competence made him stand out. He distinguished himself by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to put him in charge over the entire kingdom. Number two, his personal character stood out. That reason why Daniel kept getting promoted is that he was a man of integrity. And you'll see that in verse 4 of chapter 6 on your outline, where it says, "When the administrator heard the news, they tried to find reason to undermine Daniel." And it, watch what it says, "in his work to accuse him of misconduct, but they were unable to do so." Daniel was a man of character. He was a man of integrity. He was an honest man. They couldn't undermine him. What a testimony. Some people, they're looking for something and they can't find anything. That's what we want to be it to be said of us. Our goal is to be people of integrity, to be people of honesty. And when we do that, listen, God continues to grant favor on our life. Now, what does that say for someone who made mistakes, who hadn't risen to the level? Listen, today can be the first day of the rest of your life. From here on in, here's my suggestion: let's live like people of integrity. Let's be people of honesty. Let's be men and women of character, so that God can fully use us in the kingdom of God. The third thing we talked about last week was his public commitment to God made him stand out. That's what made him stand out. Over and over again, Daniel, in these series of tests where Daniel had to bow down to a statue, he decided, I'm not going to do that, where he stood out, where he wasn't going, at a teenager, wasn't going to eat from the king's table. He made commitments to God publicly, and his public commitment stood out. So the testimony of Daniel was a testimony of Daniel's God. Daniel stood out because he made a commitment to follow God no matter what. Same thing when we come to this sixth chapter, when they tried to trap Daniel and they tried to undermine Daniel. Daniel just went and prayed publicly as he always had. And so the ideal is that, those things made Daniel stand out. He kept getting promoted over and over again. And we see how Daniel responded to the test. He kept doing as he always did. They wanted to trap him. Once they found out that he was going to be over them, his colleagues, decided they're going to do something to trap him, that nobody could pray. So they went nobody could pray to any other god except bow to the king. And if so, they would be thrown into the lion's den. But Daniel decided, listen, I'm just going to do what I always done. And he went and prayed with his windows open toward Jerusalem and said that, so he stood up. He did that. How was he able to do that? This is what we said last week. He probably did it because he remembered that God was faithful in the past. Now, that's how we believe Daniel was able to do it. He remembered that God saved Shadrach, Meshach, his boy, homeboys, in the fiery furnace years ago. Same God that was with them, made them look 10 times better when he did not eat of the king's table, all of that. So the whole idea is that, Daniel was able to stand strong then in the sixth chapter because he remembered that God rescued him, was faithful to him in the past. And every time he stood strong for God, there his God was to stand strong for Daniel, and Daniel knew that. Second thing was, he had, it was known that Daniel talked to God three times. So, how you're able to stand strong? Because you in constant conversation with God, and how much courage would we have if we had a constant conversation with a God who had all power in his hand? And Daniel talked to God, had a track record of talking to God three times a day. What if you're in conversation with Almighty God three times a day? Listen, hear me, beloved. What kind of courage would we have if we would do that? I appreciate that testimony of being in constant conversation with God. That should have had, and it did have, a major impact on Daniel's confidence to stand for God. The secret we said last week of standing for God is kneeling often. And I gave you what my deacon used to say, Deacon Elmo Tharp. God rest his soul, he in heaven now, but he used to say, a man can't stumble when he on his knees. I love that. Yeah, I love that. And he say, he raised his hand in Bible study, he say, Pastor, a man can't stumble when he on his knees. By the time the Lord took him home in Bible study, a lot of times he would say, a man can't stumble, and everybody else would finish the sentence when he on his knees. What a statement. What a great statement to make. Daniel understood that I'm in constant conversation with a God who gives me confidence and courage. And I believe Daniel was able to stand strong in the sixth chapter simply because he was in constant conversation with God. God gave him the courage to stand strong. And then the third thing we said is that he knew that the rewards were greater than any risk. The rewards were greater than any risk. Listen, it is the ideal of the apostles and Peter and Sanhedrin Council said, we'd rather obey God than man. Listen, we'd rather obey God than man. So how do you do that? How do you go through what Daniel did was literally civil disobedience. His life was at stake, and yet Daniel decided in the sixth chapter, I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to do what I always done. And how did he do that? And one of the ways that we do that is that we, this third one, we minimize the negative possibilities and maximize the benefits. We got to constantly see what are the benefits when I stand for God. We minimize the negative. I might lose my job. I might get in trouble. I might be talked about when I'm standing for God. I may be looked at as someone who is religious or holier than thou when I stand on the principles that God has laid out in his word. And so you got to minimize those negative things and you got to maximize the benefits. What are the benefits when I stand for God? What are the benefits when I stand for what the Lord has said to do? And, and this ideal of rather obeying God than man comes to the picture and the forefront of my why. Why would I rather obey God than man? Simply because the benefits are greater when I follow God than when I do what man wants me to do. You know, and that's how we stand strong. And I want to encourage some of the believers out there, even some of our pastors. Sometimes you just got to stand strong for what you know the Lord has given you. You don't have to be arrogant or pompous or boastful. You ain't got to stand up and pry as if I'm the pastor and it's because I say I'm the pastor. No, you ain't got to be like that. You just stand strong for what the Lord has given you. And watch what and emphasize what the benefits are going to be when you stand strong. That's where we want to lay the road today. What are some of the benefits that we can see in this chapter of Daniel? What are the benefits that can happen in our life? First of all, here it is. Flip that outline over, and that is standing for God is a victory over fear. Hear that. Standing for God is a victory. Write that in that blank. Is a victory over fear. You see, because, beloved, here's what we got to know. Every time we stand for God at work, in our community, with our neighbors, or with a friend, it's a victory over fear. And don't get me wrong. Don't think that there wasn't some fear factor when it comes to Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. I don't think anybody gonna be thrown in any lion's den. And there's no fear factor. But note this, beloved, that every time we stand for God, it's a victory over fear. You know, let me just give you a couple of things about fear. And this is what we got to know. Fear is on your outline. Is just a feeling, and it cannot last. Listen, fear is just a feeling, and it cannot last. Whatever you're feeling, particularly negative ones, sometimes we think that we're going to feel this way all the time. If I'm depressed, I'm going, oh Lord, I ain't going to ever get over this. I'm going to be depressed. That's not true. So, you know, depression comes and goes, and thank God for the marvel of modern medicine for some, but to get through some of that stuff. But depression, that feeling of depression, doesn't last always. Sometimes we think, you know, I'm afraid of this, I'm afraid of that, and I'm going to always be this way. That's not necessarily true. Or I'm sad, or I'm grieving a certain way, the loss of someone. You know, it's not necessarily true. The grieving of my dad when he first passed away was constant, consistent. You know, I was trying to figure out how I'm going to continue, you know, without talking to my dad and all that. And as the years gone by, it's occasional. This last Father's Day, I went into a little slump because for some reason, he was heavy on my heart and heavy on my mind, and I kind of went into some, but it wasn't constant. And then I began to, you know, then I told the men, I heard his voice, and that, you know, that made me get up for men's fellowship. So, because my dad used to make me get up on school days, and he called my name, and I distinctly heard my dad call my name that Saturday for men's fellowship, and I got up and we talked and all of that good stuff. But those feelings that I felt when he first passed are not the same as what I feel now. And so you don't feel that way even when it comes to grief. You don't feel the same way. And if you do, then there are ways that we got to get some help. There are people that we can talk to, but for the most part, we think we're going to feel that way always, and that's not necessarily true. Emotions, by their very nature, cannot and do not last. When we're trying to stand strong for God and fear is a factor, listen, when every time we stand strong for God over fear, listen, beloved, that is a victory. Are you listening to me? The fear doesn't last, and the only way fear continues to come in as we invite it back in. I'm afraid of this. And we're telling ourselves how afraid we are to stand up. We're going to lose our job, or we're going to lose friends and all of this other stuff. And that's not necessarily true. One thing we got to learn is we cannot trust our emotions. Just because we're feeling a certain way, ooh, Lord help me, Jesus, doesn't mean that we trust those emotions. We got to be careful about making decisions based on emotion. I wish I could help somebody real quick, because some folk got married on emotion. You know, I love her. You're going to have to check off some stuff, you know, and all that good stuff. But, you know, don't just go by how I feel. No, because you can't trust emotions all the time. And it's not a fear. Fear is a feeling, and it cannot last. Number two on your outline, fear is uncomfortable, but it will not kill me. Fear is uncomfortable, but it will not kill me. Are you listening to me? Fear, F-E-A-R, is false evidence appearing real. Fear, F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. A lot of things that we think that we are afraid of literally will not kill us. Are you listening to me? Listen, when we got to make a decision, I got to go in there and I got to stand for God and I got to say what is right and I got to talk to these people and I got to make a stand. Listen, it's uncomfortable. Heart is palpitating. We're sweating and all this other stuff. And fear is uncomfortable. A lot of people don't know, and this is the humor of God, is that that all of my life, I can remember since I was little, since I was a little kid, I've suffered from what is called, what my therapist says is performance anxiety. Hello, somebody. That every time I stand up in front of a crowd, or I stood on the basketball court and all that stuff, I had what could be called an overwhelming feeling of pressure and anxiety in my heart. And the only thing back then that helped me to overcome it is that I had to I had to step out there. I hope somebody hears me, even though the anxiety was overwhelming to me. I had to step out there. I had to step on the court. I had to start playing. I had to start speaking. And even though sometimes I had to speak with my heart racing so hard that I couldn't even get my words out, you know. And so over the years, I just learned how, and this is what I told my son. I said, I learned how to just, I had to step out there. And God gradually continued to give me a way that once I stood up and once I start speaking or once I start playing, somehow or another, all of the anxiety began to go away. It started, though, when I stood up and stepped out there. Are you hearing me? Now, you know, I suffered with that for so long. I talked to my doctor, and he gave me some medication that helps me now. But man, it was so bad growing up that I didn't know what to do. But the only thing I had to do, especially when I became a preacher and a pastor, even as a pastor, sometimes when I stand up, I'd have this overwhelming fear and anxiety that would overwhelm me. Listen, let me just tell you this from experience, that even though it's uncomfortable, even though fear and anxiety is uncomfortable, listen, when you stand strong, you better recognize it will not kill you. Sometimes you gotta work through that stuff. Are you hearing me? It's not real, and it's not real, and we gotta recognize that. Number three is this: fear grows when I give in to it, but it lessens when I move against it. That was like when I stood up and I pushed myself through my anxiety and my fear. Listen, it lessened. But when I gave in to it, it grew. And I've discovered that, we got to keep pushing pushing through it, pushing it back into the corner and pushing that fear away. When you stand strong for God and you're looking for, understand that standing strong for God is a victory over fear. It is. Why? Because God did not give us the spirit of fear. Help me hear somebody. But of power and of love and of sound mind. And we'll see that later on. In the chapter, but it grows, but it lessens when I move against it. It lessens. The more we move against it, the more confidence we have, the more courageous when we move against it. We become a person like Daniel. Can I ask you this? Are you a courageous man or a courageous woman? And if that's the case, and if that's not the case, but let me ask you this. When is the last time you moved against fear and did the thing that you feared the most? The enemy uses fear as a tactic to hush us up and to make us sit down instead of stand up. Listen, we got to move against it. Fear does not respond to reason because fear is unreasonable. Yeah, you know, it responds to action. You got to stand up. Take a deep breath. And you got to make a stand. I think that's what Daniel did. He said, "Well, you know, I'm going to overcome this thing because I realize that standing for God is a victory over fear." And I'm sure Daniel thought about, you know, they're going to throw me in the lion's den. It's going to be all of that, but it's a victory over fear. Fear grows when I give in to it. It lessens or dilutes when I move against it. Amen. It's like opening up the closet and recognizing that the boogeyman that you thought was in the closet is a teddy bear. That is not exactly what we think it is. Hello, somebody. And so we move against that. So stand in spite of the fear, in spite of the frustration, stand for God, because standing for God is a victory over fear. Is that all right to say? Listen, beloved, we got to pray like the early church, because the early church on your outline, listen what the first Christians prayed like. They said, Lord, you know the threats people make, so help us as your servants to speak your word without fear. Listen, in the early church, being a Christian was almost again like being thrown into the den of the lion. They would be crucified and killed and all of that stuff just for being a Christian in the Roman Empire. But listen how they prayed, how the early church prayed. It says, Lord, you know the threats people make, so help us as your servant to speak your word without fear, to speak it with boldness. So that's the first point that I want to make. The benefit is that standing for God is victory over fear. The second thing is that standing for God builds my faith and character. Every time I take a stand for God, it builds my faith. It builds my character. And every time you take a stand for God, the goal is that it keeps on building our character. It keeps on building our faith in God. Are you listening to me? Faith and character are like a muscle. If you want to build muscle, you know, if you want to build muscle, you gotta put some stress on it. You gotta pump that iron if you're trying to build muscle. And that's what faith and character is like. It's built through the stress and the strain. Are you listening to me? So we gotta stretch, just like we gotta stretch our muscles and strain our muscles and put a little tension on there. You know, I know they're using these bands now where they're adding tension to building muscle, but that's just like our faith and our character. Hear me good, because it's the ideal that the more of a godly man or godly woman we become, and the more we stand, it builds our faith in God and it builds character. Help me hear somebody. Look at your outline. It says, you must never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord with the strength that God gives you. He says, be ready to suffer if necessary to share the good news. Now, note that verse is the verse that said, prior to that, says that God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And it says, therefore, listen, we must never be ashamed. God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but we must never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. Listen, with the strength that God gives. And I like the English Standard Version. It talks about the power of God, the power that God gives us. You can tell others boldly about the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, beloved, that's building character, knowing that God didn't give you the spirit of fear, but of love, of faith, of a sound mind. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of power and of a sound mind. God gave us what we need in order to be able to stand strong. Standing strong for God builds my faith and my character. Every time I stand for God, no matter what the obstacles are, it's helping to build my character, my Christian character, and my faith in God. Are you listening to me? We grow in confidence. We grow in strength. We grow in wisdom when we stand for God. We become more like Christ. So I'm encouraging. The benefit is that it continues to help me to grow. Good to grow strong in the Lord, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to know that we are more than conquerors. So I can stand for God because it's helping to build my character, helping to build my faith in him. Number three, standing for God builds, standing for God, it gives God an opportunity to do a miracle. Listen, it gives God, when I stand for him, when all odds are against me, when I make a stand for what is right, it makes room for God to do a miracle. And the truth is, a whole lot of believers have never seen God do a miracle in their life, to do for us what only he could do, that was beyond human capabilities and human expectation. God supersedes even natural law sometimes, and does a miracle in our life. And a whole lot of folk have never seen, a whole lot of believers never really seen God do a miracle, because they never stepped out there. Are you listening to me? And sometimes, you know, we got to recognize is that when we stand for God, it's an opportunity. We give God an opportunity to just do what he do. I pray that prayer all the time. I say, Lord, just do what you do. I mean, in spite of me, in spite of the circumstance, in spite of how it looks, in spite of how bad it is, God, do what you do. Have your way. And we used to say that flippantly, but it's true. That's what we are asking God to do. Have his way, do his will, accomplish his plan in spite of what is going on. And when we take a stand for God, you'll see how God will open some doors that were previously closed to us. When we stand for God, you'll see God close some doors. Listen, that were previously open so that we didn't go that way, and it helped us to go another way. I hope you're hearing me. There are miracles out there. That God is still in the miracle making business. God can supersede natural law, literally, and do whatever he wants to do. And when we take a stand for him, hear me, beloved, that opens the door for God to do a miracle in our life. Are you listening to me? The one way we see a miracle is we step out of the boat. The only way you walk on water is you step out of the boat. And sometimes the fear factor steps in, and we're afraid to step out there and let the results remain in the hands of Almighty God. Are you listening to me? That's what Daniel did. That's what he did. You know, he put himself in a position to where he had to trust God. He knew that he was going to be thrown in the lion's den when he did what he had to do. And so he had to put himself in a position where he trusted God and God alone. And it's almost like us praying this prayer. God, unless you come through, unless you make a way, unless you do what you do, I'm between a rock and a hard place. I will never make it out of this. How many times have we put ourselves in that situation and say, God, I'm just going to trust you through this unless you come through. I'm so far out there right now, it is going to take your hand to come through. I'm standing for you. I'm doing what is right. I may lose my job. I may be ostracized by the people that are around me. They may turn their back on me. And so, God, I'm standing for you. And so I'm putting it into your hands. I want you to handle it, God, because I'm doing what you told me to do. Are you hearing me? You know, and we say stuff like, God, it's not going to happen unless you do it, unless you handle it, unless you make a way. And we never know. I think that was a song. We never know God could solve any problems unless we had some. Come on, somebody help me. You can't. You don't know God can solve any problem unless you got problems. So God allows us to have challenges and difficulties in our life so that we know that he is a problem solver. Woo, that ought to shout somebody today, because the truth of the matter is that's what we learn from Daniel. Listen, beloved, Daniel says, I'm willing to do what literally go against the law. In the sixth chapter, what Daniel did was literally illegal. Now, don't get me wrong here. Don't go out there trying to do something illegal. Amen. But I'm telling you, the law had been decreed and it could not be taken back. And what Daniel did by bowing down was illegal. And he says, God, unless you come through, And listen, it allowed God to do a miracle. And so that's what we learned. That's what happened on your outline. God did a miracle at the first light of dawn. Look on your outline. The king got up and hurried to the pit filled with lions. Daniel thrown in the lion's den for praying to his God and doing something that at that point was illegal for 30 days. And Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. The Bible says that in verse 14 that the king Darius was saddened. He was heartbroken. Daniel was his boy. He was about to promote Daniel and take Daniel to another level. Daniel was his heir apparent over all of his kingdom. He was about to set Daniel up, and then his colleagues set Daniel up literally for him to be thrown in that the lion's den. And verse 14 talks about how he had been, how he had been saddened, that the king had been saddened, that his boy had broken the law and that he couldn't take it back and thrown into the lion's den. And it talks about in verse 18 how the king couldn't even sleep that night. It was so burdensome to him. He wanted to try to rescue Daniel out of that, but he didn't. He allowed Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. In verse 8, he couldn't sleep that night. Verse 18 says he couldn't sleep that night. And it says he couldn't eat, and he fasted all night because Daniel was his boy. So got no sleep that night. But then when you get to that verse 19, at first dawn, when the sun came out, king ran. Woo, help me hear somebody. The king ran to the lion's den, and look what it says. When he got there, he called Daniel out. Listen, in an anguished voice, he was hoping and praying. He had fasted all night, and he was hoping and praying that Daniel answered him when he called. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion? He's crying out in anguish. Hear what Daniel says. Listen, Daniel answered, O king, my God, who helped me hear somebody, sent his angel, and he shut the mouth of the lions. Listen. And they have not hurt me at all, because God knew I had done nothing against him or you, O king. In anguish, the king cries out, Daniel, has your God rescued you? I fasted and prayed all night. Daniel says, look, chill, king. I'm still here. I'm here. And God, let me tell you what God, he shut the mouth of the lions, took the appetite out the lions, shut their mouth, and God rescued me. Are you hearing that? If that ain't a miracle, I don't know what is. Woo! God is still in the miracle-making business, and the Bible says that literally there is no scratch on his body. Verse 23 says, listen, it says, no kind of harm was found on him, not even a scratch, not even like the lion came up and took a little bite out of him, a scratch and snip. nothing was found of harm on Daniel. That is what I call a miracle. And listen, beloved, here's what we got to know, and that is this: when we stand for God, it gives God the opportunity to do what he do. Let the results be in the hands of Almighty God. We got to be courageous enough. We got to stand strong, and we got to stand for God no matter what. And then let God do a miracle. Let him do what he do. Help me hear somebody. He says, listen, because God knew I have done nothing against you. Watch this. And the king was overjoyed and said, man, y'all get Daniel up out of there. That's the K-Ray version. Man, y'all get Daniel up out of there. Get him out that pit now. And when Daniel was lifted out, not a single scratch on his body, because what? He had trusted God. Get that, beloved. He trusted God. Can I ask you this? Has God ever rescued you out of a pit? Maybe it wasn't a pit of your own doing. Maybe it was a pit of your own doing. But nonetheless, God rescued you out of a pit. You were closed in and locked up, and the enemy was about to devour you. But somehow or another, God made a way for you. Listen, beloved, we tell this story about Daniel in the lion's den all the time in Sunday school. But listen, I'm telling you, if you want to make it personal and applicable, just think back how when God delivered you out of your pit, out of your pit of depression, out of your pit of despair, how your life was about to go into dismay and disruption. But somehow or another, God shut the mouth of the enemy, and you came out of that thing. Listen, beloved, God can still do miracles. And when we stand strong for him, when we do what God has called us to do, and I'm encouraging every believer out there right now, let us stand strong for God. And I know there's a prevailing thought in the world, and we're trying to do all this social injustice and marching and all that. I get that. But listen, beloved, the best we can do, in spite of not doing all that, but we got to start with standing strong for God. We stand for what is right. We stand for, and I believe that's what people like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. did. He stood for what is right. And there's a group of people that don't want you to stand, don't want you to act as if you everything's okay. But sometimes we gotta take a stand for what is right. Are you listening to me? And listen, sometimes, just like Dr. King, it'll get you thrown in jail, but you'll end up writing a book out of the memoirs from the Birmingham jail. I wish somebody would help me. God got a way. And if we stand strong for him, God can do miracles. The fourth thing that I want to show you is this. What is another benefit? Not only will God do miracles, not only does it build my faith and character, not only does it, standing for God is a victory over fear, but number four, it encourages other believers to stand up. When I stand, it encourages family to stand. It encourages other people to stand. When I stand, or when you stand, all your homies, your boys, your friends, your Ace Boone Coons, they see you standing, and it'll encourage other believers to stand as well. Are you listening to me? Because here's what I've discovered is that courage is courageous, is contagious. That courage is contagious. Sometimes it just takes one person to make a stand for God. One person to say, I'm going to do what is right. And then other people, when you begin to stand, it encourages others to take a stand as well. Courage is contagious. Listen, beloved, if you ever have a cowardly leader, everybody else is going to be cowardly. Hello, but if you got a courageous leader that's willing to stand and stand on what God says, then it encourages other people to stand as well. When you step out for God and you go, I'm in, I'll do this, I'll speak up for God at work. And listen, there'll be other people coming out of the shadows. You know, I wanted to say the same thing you said, and I wish I had the courage to do that, but I want you to know I'm behind you, and whatever you want to do or decide to do, let's do it together. And so it just encourages other people to come out of the shadows. When you stand for God, other people begin to say, look, I feel you, I'm with you, and I'm willing to take that stand as well, no matter what the world throws at me. It encourages other believers to stand up as well. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. And this is what Paul says. He talks about how he's in prison, and he says how him being in prison and him being able to stand for boldly is making Others speak boldly as well. Watch that. Because of what I've been through, many Christians here have gained confidence and become more bold in telling others what I've been telling others about Christ. Your boldness will encourage others to be bold as well. Let me show you that when in the English Standard Version. In the English Standard Version, watch what it sounds like. Watch what he says in the English Standard Version. He says, and I like this. It kind of blows me apart when I read it from this. He says here, and that's verse 14, English Standard Version. He says, and most of the brethren, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, by the fact, because he says a little further up, what I want you to know, brother, that, and that's verse 12, that what has happened to me, this is what he's saying, has really served to advance the gospel. He says, I want you to know that it has, me being thrown in prison has literally advanced the gospel. He says, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. Hear me. And that's where that verse, and most of the brethren, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, by what's happening to me, he says, watch this, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, he says, those brothers are much more bold to speak a word without fear. They've seen me stand and they've seen how God is making a way while I'm here in prison, and how the whole imperial guard is testifying of what is happening and about my God. He says, it has made other brothers bold to speak without fear about Christ. Listen, beloved, when we stand for God, it helps others to be bold to speak about the God that they love, the God that they serve, simply because they watch us stand strong. That's why I want to encourage you, beloved, stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Know that you're more than conquerors, because there are people who are watching us. There are other believers who may not be as strong, but they see our testimony. They see your testimony. They see mama's testimony. They see daddy's testimony. They see others stand strong. And they say, if they can do it, I can stand strong as well. Woo, help me hear somebody. Your life is a living testimony to others, to your grandkids. They call you G-Paul. They want to call you G-Paul, not just because of grandparent. They want to say, this is God's parent. Amen. This is God's child. Amen. You got G-Paul and G-Maw. You don't want to be called grandma and grandpa no more. But they need to see you standing strong, because it builds faith in them. Uh-oh, help me hear somebody. It encourages other believers to stand. Number five, it's a powerful example to unbelievers as well. Listen, y'all remember in Acts where the council in Jerusalem saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they were amazed at their boldness and their courage. Why? Because it showed they were men who had been with Jesus. These were unbelievers. They didn't believe in Christ, but they saw that these men were so bold, it testified to the fact that they had been with Jesus. Are you listening to me? What could be said of us as well? Let me just give you this real quick, beloved, because listen, the king had become a believer. When you read Daniel, how the king... Watch, the king had become a believer. Watch this. Watch what the king says after Daniel's they lift Daniel out of the lion's den. He says, watch this. And the king wrote, this is verse 25, to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in the earth. He says, peace be multiplied to you. Verse 26, I make a decree that in all of my royal dominion, people are to tremble and to fear before the God of Daniel. Watch what he said. Why? For he is, meaning the God of Daniel, this is the king talking, is the living God, enduring forever. He's the everlasting God. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be put to no end. Verse 27, he delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the lion's den. Get that. This king became a believer. He says, this is the one true and living God. So much so, listen, on your outline, you all remember, beloved, when 18 generations later, listen, that those wise men came from the east looking for Jesus. Y'all remember that? Listen, the east, 18 generations later, and that's on your outline, 18 generations later, so much so, the testimony of Daniel and the conversion of this king, it says, literally, 18 generations later, when these wise men came from the east. Where was the east? The east was Persia. Come on, somebody help me. They were Babylonians. But they heard of the king, this king being born, and so they traveled all the way from the east. That's 18 generations later. It seems as if the testimony and the faith of Daniel and the conversion of this king permeated the Persian and the Babylonian Empire so much so that at the birth of Christ, 18 generations later, hear me, beloved, here walks in these wise men from the east. They heard of the Messiah being born. Are you listening to me? And so they came looking when they saw the star. When they saw it, they came looking because they remembered the prophecy and they had learned that there was going to be a Messiah that was going to be born. They came from the east to worship him. Where did it come from? Where did all of that come from in Jesus' time? It came all the way from Daniel and the conversion of this king, declaring that the whole dominion would recognize that the one and true living God. I hope somebody hears me. What an impact over Daniel's 85 plus years. What an impact Daniel had. So much so that it reached all the way to the birth of Christ. What do we want people to say about us? What impact will we have on the future generations to come like Daniel? Listen, beloved, what a great testimony. Listen, the benefit is that it's a powerful example, even that can last 18 generations later. My G. Paul stood for Christ. That's why I learned about him, and I'm learning about my past and my history and all of that of our faith in Christ. And then number six, here it is. This is one of the last benefits, and that is this. Standing strong for God will be rewarded in eternity. It's a powerful example to the unbeliever. It encourages other believers to stand up. It gives God an opportunity to do a miracle. Standing up for God builds my faith, builds my character, and then standing for God is a victory over fear. And that is this. Listen, that's standing strong. When we do stand strong, note that for God, great will be our reward in heaven. Standing strong for God will be rewarded in eternity. Remember the Sermon on the Mount on your outline? Here's what Jesus says. Consider yourself blessed. Blessed be. Amen. If people put you down and throw you out or speak lies against you, why? Because of me, not because you are arrogant, not because you're obnoxious. No, they speak lies and do stuff against you because of him. He said, if that happens, be happy knowing that you will be rewarded greatly in heaven. Remember, you are in good company. He says, they did the same to all the witnesses before you. He says, you got to be of good cheer. You're in good company because they persecuted them. They're going to persecute you. He says, but hang in there, because knowing that great will be your reward in heaven. A friend of mine, love him dearly, my brother Z'Andre Roshan, he used to come to me when in staff meeting, and sometime we'd have personal conversations, and he had to handle some business at in the music department, and he's like, Pastor, why I gotta go through this? And I used to tell him all the time, I said, brother, great will be your reward in heaven. And so he knew that when he came to me talking about, you know, what this and that, and I would always, he said, I know, Pastor, I know, great will be my reward in heaven. But listen, I love it, because one of these old days, we will hear the Lord say, well done, when they persecute us, when they speak evil against us for his sake. Listen, for God's sake, he says, great will be your reward in heaven. So stand strong, beloved. Stand strong, my brother. Stand strong, my sister, because there is a great reward for us in heaven. And sometimes, I won't tell you all the time, sometimes you'll see a reward on this side, but there is no guarantee you're going to see the reward on this side. But there is a guarantee that you will see a reward on the other side. So that's what we learn from Daniel. We want to know and recognize that when we stand strong for him, listen, there will be a reward waiting for us in heaven. I'm done. I'm happy now. Listen, but I'm done. I can shout myself all the way back to my office now, because I know and recognize that that as we do what God wants us to do, listen, the sky is the limit to what God can do. When we stand for him, and in spite of all the challenges, God will make ways for us. Let's pray. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. Thank you again, oh God, for this opportunity to be led down into the deep treasures of your word. And we pray in particular, oh God, that you give us the courage, the strength, and the wisdom to stand strong for you. Thank you for helping us to recognize the benefits, that we don't have to be afraid, that we recognize that there will be a great reward, and our life is a testimony to those that do not believe, and it will encourage others to stand up for you as well. So thank you, Lord, for Daniel. Thank you for his testimony in your holy writ that encourages us to be better and do better for you. We love you, Lord, and we want to pray in particular for those that are sick and shut in, that are battling cancer and other diseases. And we pray, God, even through this pandemic, that you would help us again to stand strong, to hear your voice, and to listen what thus saith the Lord. We love you, Lord, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said amen. Amen. God bless you. Listen, we'll see you on Sunday. You know that we're still doing our sheltering in place. We have not opened up completely yet. And so we pray that you are praying that God will lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.